G-Mace.
He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now is your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. You know what to do. Call us. Text us. 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. If there is something you have always wanted to know from Derek Mason, now is the time. 615-737-1025. Last week, I learned that neither of my co-hosts were familiar with Oopsall Berries, which I was incredibly disappointed about.
Nope, we were not familiar.
And then I sent y'all a picture of the cereal when I was at the grocery store.
And still didn't. Yes. Yeah, it still didn't ring a bell.
Mm. And I also thought, and maybe I have to try it for myself, but I think the balance of the Captain Crunch with your choice of berries is the better play than just all of the berries. Because that's what that is, right? It's just all of the berries minus the Captain Crunch.
Well, I used to do that.
Yes.
When I had the Crunch Berries, I used to take the Captain. I used to just, you know, filter through and get some of the berries out, like some extra berries.
Heck yeah. Well, this eliminates that step. You don't have to do that.
But I still want the other stuff, too. I just don't want the berries alone.
Well, hopefully I won't learn anything problematic about either of you today, because I was a little disappointed about that. Yeah, all right. Man. Let's start with Joey from Bellevue on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, if you want to get in on this, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joey from Bellevue. Derek, would you go cage diving with great white sharks?
Oh, man. You know, more probably not.
I can't imagine you doing it.
Yeah. Now, I will. I
need to see the cage.
Yeah, I need to see the cage too. But no, I still. I've seen too many movies where the cage has broke, or the shark has gotten inside the cage.
Yeah.
And that ain't good.
Tear that thing up.
I saw one thing on Instagram, and it was real. They jumped. The shark somehow, some way, got into the cage. And they were freaking out, like, it's the guy. And the guy ended up getting out of the cage. But see, like, I don't want that to happen. But I have swam with sharks before. Now, they were not aggressive sharks, but they were pretty big. And
no cage?
No cage. Those sharks wouldn't mess with nobody. It was about 30 of us out there, too. It was a big group. And the shark. And it was so cool that.
So you've done it?
Yeah. So we, where were we? Bor Bor. And one of the guides dove all the way. He dove at least like 20 feet. It had to be. And he was riding the fin of this. It was a docile shark. What is the most docile shark out there? It was one of those.
Nurse shark?
Probably, yeah, nurse shark. And he was just, he had the fin of the nurse shark. But he was at the bottom. I was like, ooh, that's kind of cool. But then I realized, it's a shark. And there's more sharks out here. Okay, I'm about to get back in the boat. I got back in quickly. But I did swim with sharks along with 30 other people. I was hoping that if that shark got hungry, they would eat them first and not me.
I went scuba diving with my dad a long time ago when we were on a family vacation in the Caribbean. And before you go, you take a class. They teach you certain hand signals so that you can communicate with each other. So my dad and I are scuba diving in this incredible setting. And I see my dad trying to get my attention, and he's pointing in the other direction, keeps pointing in the other direction, like, oh, there must be something really cool. I turn around. There's a barracuda within inches of my face. I can see the little sharp teeth, not quite a shark, but still incredibly terrifying to be face to face with a barracuda. Let's go to Leo on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Leo, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys.
No
problem. I got a two-part question for D-Mace, and one part's not related to the other. The first is this. You're a special teams ace, and I used to enjoy watching you when you were with the Titans and even later when you were with the Ravens. Return of punts, kicks. Who's the best punt returner, in your opinion, in the NFL right now?
Wow, none of them really, because because they don't allow them to. It's punt return and kickoff return isn't like it used to be. Right. So they've tried, you know, for the last couple of years prior to this year. Now that they've instituted some stuff back, it was almost like they eliminated the special teams unit. And when they did that, it was like I sort of lost like the excitement to even want to watch that portion of the special teams, because usually it was kicked out of bounds, kicked high, or, you know, on kickoff, they would just kick it out the back of the end zone. I think the NFL realized that, and they want to bring that excitement and that element back to the game. But if you're talking about all time, I mean, it got to be Devin Hester. I can go back to Mel Gray, Mitchell
is that Brian Mitchell?
Brian Mitchell
in Washington.
From Washington. And yeah. He played for the Eagles. Arizona Cardinals and Eagles. So guys like that, even what's the little running back for the New Orleans Saints?
Darren Sproles?
Yeah, Darren Sproles. He was a good returner. But Devin Hester is by far the greatest returner.
What's your second question, Leo?
My second question, what's going on with Sparty? Are they ever coming back?
Yeah, they'd be back, man. They're
Thanks,
coming
Leo.
Back. Thank you. They had an okay season last year. I watched just about every game. They have some players. That freshman wide receiver they had last year, he's going to be a stud. The quarterback's pretty good. He needs to cut down on a lot of his mistakes. They need to get that defense back, because at one point they had a really good defense. I don't think they are defensively where they used to be. But I think they're still a good team. So Spartans will be back. Don't worry about it. We kick Michigan's you-know-what, and then we'll kick everybody else's you-know-what.
Those dirty, rotten cheaters, right, Willie?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Trey, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, my guys.
What's going on, Trey?
No much. Hey, Derek, I want to ask you, how many touchdowns do you think we're going to score tonight? And are we capable of scoring more than 3 touchdowns in this season? And thank y'all. Y'all have a good evening.
Thanks,
thank
Trey.
Thank you, Trey. Appreciate it. I think they're capable of scoring 3 touchdowns.
Did he ask, are they capable of scoring 3 touchdowns this season?
I think he meant this game. I was hoping he meant this game. Yeah, they're capable of doing it. I don't know if you heard, Trey, but I don't think a lot of veteran guys are playing.
No.
But this gives an opportunity for some of these younger guys with Cam Ward to get in there, get their feet wet, get comfortable with being with him inside of a real game, albeit it's preseason. Do I think they're going to score 3 touchdowns tonight? I think they will. I think they want to go out there and establish and prove something tonight. I'm not saying Cam's going to throw the 3 touchdowns. I predict he's going to throw at least one of them.
Oh.
I think the others will come, you know, via run and maybe another pass.
Meanwhile, I believe starting at quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, Easton Stick, which I thought was a piece of hockey equipment.
That could be.
Easton used to make some good aluminum bats back in the day, too.
Yeah.
The Black Magic was the 80s bat of choice.
That's the one to get the ball out the park.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ting.
Let's go to James in Ashland City on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. James, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. Earlier in the week, Derek, I called and talked about getting a veteran backup quarterback. You remember I mentioned Joe Flacco and mentioned Jake Browning, and you all told me that Jake Browning was not a free agent.
Yes.
Now that we've signed Simeon, my question to you is, do you think that's a right call, signing a veteran to back up Cam Ward just in case something tragic happens to him? Or would you have rather the Titans waited until later on in the preseason when more people were cut? What would you prefer, having Trevor Siemian or waiting to get possibly something better later on when cuts were more continuous? And now hang up and listen.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, James. Here's the good thing about it, James. One, and we've talked about it ad nauseum, the Titans have the number one pick when it comes to guys being released. They have the, you know, the first pick of the litter. And at this time, Trevor Siemian was a guy because Boyle didn't prove he should even be on the team. So they went out and got Trevor Siemian. I'm not mad. I'm not upset with what they did. I think it was a good thing, because ultimately, if Trevor Siemian doesn't show, or Brandon Allen doesn't show, that they're capable of being a backup, then the good part about it is there will be more quarterbacks released, and you will get first dibs on those quarterbacks. So right now, yes, bringing in Trevor Siemian because Boyle didn't pan out. That was a good move for the Titans. I still believe the Titans need a better backup quarterback than both Brandon Allen and Trevor Siemian. I really do, because my thing is I don't want him. The goal isn't to make him the starter. The goal is for that guy to push Cam and to be there and to know his role. And if we do need him, he's there to come in and win games for us if we need him. That's what I need my backup quarterback to be. And right now, I don't think Brandon Allen can do that. I know Trevor Siemian has been in the NFL for a while, but I'm not sure if he was asked to win three, maybe four games. I don't know if he can do it. They need someone that they can bring in that is okay with this role, but also can come in and win you some games, you know, three, four games. Hell, we had that, you know, when I was playing. So that backup quarterback is one of the most, if not the most important position in football, because you are one play away from him getting into the game. And if he's not ready to play or capable to play, then, man, you up the creek without a paddle.
Let's go to Andrew on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Andrew, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
So, D-Mace, I got a kind of a quirky but fun one for you. What is the best pregame meal you've ever had at an opposing team's stadium? And what is the worst meal you've ever had? I will sit back and listen.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, man. It's not necessarily at the other teams, because we don't have breakfast at the facility, at the stadium. We have it at the hotel we usually stay in. And, you know, it's good food. Hey, it's good food. We're pampered. You remember that? We're pampered. We got nice places to sleep. We fly in first class. We get the best of the best of the best meals. And they're right about that. So I'm not going to try to sit here and deny it. But I don't think I had, because my go-to, once I stopped eating beef, my go-to was give me some pasta, eggs, and then I would get a pancake. It's odd, I know.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I would, you know, put the syrup on the pancakes, but I loved when my syrup got kind of mixed up with my noodles. Huh. Oh, it was so good. That was so good. That was my pregame meal.
Buddy?
Okay. Yeah. What about you, Willie? Did you have a pregame meal?
Did you have the worst?
I never had a bad. They make sure there's no bad meals.
But the other team is not catering for you.
Yeah, they're not catering for us. Yeah, so,
right.
So it doesn't matter. Like, we're in our own hotel. Yes. They're doing whatever they're doing in their hotel.
Willie, you know what this reminds me of? The infamous night in Detroit for the Nashville Predators. Remember that roughly 10 years ago?
Yes. The pregame meal did not go well.
No, it did not.
And only during the game did they find this out.
And guess where the game was? In Detroit. Oh, Joe Louis Arena. Yeah.
There was, you know, there was some legalese. I think they tried to avoid saying directly, but we know what happened. Mm. Everybody ate a certain thing at the pregame meal, and everybody who ate that particular thing was having trouble during that game. And the Predators had a lead.
Yes.
And by the end of the game, almost everybody was sick. Everybody who had the chicken soup or whatever it was, right? I think it was chicken soup.
I remember walking into the dressing room that night.
I hope the statute of limitations has ended on this. I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
I'm only sharing firsthand experience here. I remember walking into the dressing room, and you know how in cartoons when people get sick, they turn green? Mm-hmm. This is the first time I ever saw an actual human being look green.
It was brutal.
Craig Smith. Craig Smith was green. Like, his face had a greenish hue to it. I was like, this is bad news.
And he wasn't alone.
No,
he was some other green dudes.
during the game,
they were going back to the dressing room and upchucking and then coming back and trying to finish. It was a valiant effort to finish the game. I was on the plane coming back.
I can only imagine what that flight was like.
Craig Smith bolting to the front. It just made the loudest noise as he was just trying to get through it. But the crazy part was they had to play the next night.
At home. Yes.
At home.
It was the first half of a back-to-back.
It was, I think, UC Soros' first win. Mm. Isn't that right? They called him up because he was the only healthy goalie.
Chris Mason, I think, was called upon to maybe be the emergency guy.
Yes.
And
it was October of 2016.
Yeah. So Chris Mason, I think, was on a call to be the backup. Mm-hmm. And they one of it wasn't I think Pekka was too sick to play. Mm. Merrick Mazinitz, I think, was the guy that was toughing it out as the backup.
And the Predators won that night. They won against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes. Phil Kessel scored like on the first play of the game. You're like, oh man, they're gonna get beat 7-0. There's no way. But they rallied and won the game.
Here was the best part. The next morning, they're back at home. Mm-hmm. Peter Laviolette does his pregame news conference. And I have found the direct quote from my story in the Tennessee and from nearly 10 years ago. Quote, nobody wants to talk hockey, just want to talk throw up and diarrhea.
Oh, wow.
So, D-Mace, be glad
yes.
that you did not have a bad yes. pregame meal experience.
Yes. See, I've never gotten to like eating soup and stuff like that before. No, before a game or in the morning. Yeah, because stuff like that can happen. Like, you can get sick. It may just hit you wrong. Find yourself in the restroom more so than on a field.
Let's go to Chris in the Borough on our phone line, driven by WilsonCalumnyHyundai.com. Chris, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. D-Mace, I just wondering aloud here if the team would be better served if Chad Brinker had nothing to do with football operations and he just handed it over to Mike Borgonzi. It seems like, I thought anyway, the team president took care of other things other than the football kind of thing. What's your take on that?
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Listen, they all have to work in unison, I believe. Brian Callahan has a job to do. We assume that Borgonzi, and we haven't heard at least for the last month and a half, 2 months, we haven't heard anything outside of, you know, him not being in control, meaning Borgonzi. So I would assume that Borgonzi is in control. He is doing, you know, GM duties. They do believe he is the guy. Brinkert, I really don't know what is to – Willie, what is his – I mean, what is he tasked to do? I mean, you know –
Brinker?
Overseeing
– the Supreme Ruler of football?
Supposedly, I think he is the creator of the infrastructure.
Yes.
Right? He is the creator of the system in which Borgonzi operates as – the general manager.
But Borgonzi is still –
But there's
still a lot of
definitions that are – murky as to who has the final say,
exactly.
et cetera. So.
That's why I'm assuming, because we've heard, you know, Borgonzi, you know, speak even in a press conference. I think he was doing much of the talking at one point. I think they're going to allow Borgonzi to do his job the way GMs do it. See if the team starts to do bad, what happens then? You know, because we've seen, you know, Amy make some decisions during the season. And some people say there were knee-jerk reactions. Hey, it is what it is. But we'll see if the Titans start off, say, 1-4, 2-6, something like that. We'll see who really is in charge, I think.
615-737-1025. We have plenty of texts and plenty of calls to get to. Hang tight. 615-737-1025. We'll continue. Ask D-Mace if you want to get in on it. 615-737-1025. Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, Dunnick, 1025 The Game. Let's continue. Ask D-Mace.
This is me. Okay, people are late to the party. I declared this is the beginning of the show. I took over the DJ duties today.
Cutting edge.
This is cutting edge stuff.
That's right.
Chic.
And the song came out when?
Probably 1978, 77.
Very
was it mid-70s or late 70s?
Maybe late 70s, yeah.
Hmm.
Nile Rodgers on the bass, Chic.
Let's go to Jason on our phone line, driven by WilsonCalumnyHyundai.com. Jason has been waiting patiently. Jason, thank you for waiting. Please go ahead.
Hey, D-Mace.
Hey, what's going on?
Kind of a three-part. You'll be able to answer two of them really quickly, but the third one I'd like to really get your opinion on. First off, what does the receiver room look like at the end of all cuts? Does Restrepo make the cut? Secondly, my opinion, and you can shoot me down, tell me if I'm right or wrong, I think Gunner takes over the tight end spot. And third, and most importantly to me, is there any concern in you as much as it is in me with all the batted balls I'm seeing with Cam Ward, his height, his throwing motion, and is the remedy to that always playing him out of the shotgun slash pistol? And I'll sit back and listen. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Jason.
You're welcome. Jason, the receiver rule, let's start with that. How do I think it looks at the end of camp? I think Ridley, Lockett, and Jefferson, I think those three guys. The two rookies. I'm assuming the two rookies, or at least one of the two, let's say.
You're not going to cut DK or Io Manor.
They could throw him on. Hey, man, listen, I've seen crazier things happen. So,
okay.
But let's just throw that's five. Depending on how many they're going to keep, six or seven. Man, I would almost say James Porche right now.
Don't forget about your man Bryce Oliver.
I know Bryce. Those are going to be the last two spots, because I think probably Jaquan Jackson will go on practice squad. Mason Kinsey may go on practice squad. Xavier Restrepo may go on practice squad.
What is the record? Is Mason Kinsey getting close to being a record holder in most days on the practice squad?
He could be. I'm not sure, but, you know, maybe this is his last year of, you know, being on a Titans practice squad and he has to go somewhere else.
There used to be a rule. Do they still have those?
I don't know. He had spent so many years.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know now veteran guys can be on practice squad. Before, it was just relegated to, like, first-year guys, rookies. But now veteran guys can be on practice squad, too. So I'm looking at Ridley, Lockett, Jefferson, Io Manor, DK, and between Porche and Bryce Oliver, or they may both, depending on how many they're going to keep in a running back's room, knowing that Tajay Spears may not start the first game because of a high ankle sprain. So that's how the receiver room will look to me. What was the other question? It was
about Gunnar Helm.
Oh, yeah, Gunnar Helm.
Tight end one.
No, not when the season. I don't think when the season starts, he will be tight end number one. If it's going to happen, I think it'll happen later in the season. I don't think it's going to happen any this year. I think Chig, unless he gets hurt, I think Chig remains tight end one. But just because you're tight end one doesn't mean that the second guy isn't going to get just as many snaps as you do. So just because I'm saying Gunnar Helm will not be tight end number one doesn't mean he's not going to play a crucial role in what they're doing from an offensive standpoint.
And quickly, the third question was about the batted balls for Cam Ward.
We talked about this after the first game and into the second practice, well, the first initial practice with Atlanta, and there were no batted balls. I think Teron said there were no batted balls
in practice.
I don't think there were batted balls in the game. So hopefully I'm taking that as he's gotten used to the rush, and he's altered it a little. He's adapted, or he is adapting to the game, and he's altering, you know, his mechanics slightly based upon what's in front of him. So I'm not worried about it, because it was high 2 weeks ago, right, Willie? Where in practice he was getting balls batted down left and right, but then after that it kind of lessened.
You have to hope that he learns what's there, what's not. And as long as he's willing to adjust and not stubborn about it, and as long as he, you know, can still be effective with it, then I think it'll work itself out.
Yeah.
Josh on our text line says, Derek, what if while you were playing at Michigan State, this happened to your team in terms of the Michigan cheating scandal? Mm-hmm. How would you have handled it, and how would you have felt about winning a championship knowing your coach has cheated?
We would have never did that. We are the Spartans, okay? We hold ourselves to a higher standard than cheating.
Spartans. Michigan State men.
Yes. But hypothetically, I got to say again, I mean, listen, students shouldn't, I've said this in prior years and I'm saying it now. That's why I really couldn't go in like I wanted to. Willie did it for me. The athlete, I don't believe, should pay for the transgressions of the coach. That's just the way I feel. You know, whether it's Michigan, Michigan State, or whatnot. But, you know, the penalty should be harsh for the coaches, as they were, you know, for Michigan coaches, in particular Jim Harbaugh. But I'm not sure he's coming back anytime soon to the college anyway, so it don't matter. So, yeah, if it was the Michigan State Spartans, and, you know, if I'm there as a student athlete, then, I'm there for my team. I'm riding it down with my team. So whatever they decide, let's move forward. But if I've already left, like if I'm in this situation now that I'm in, I'm still, you know, approaching it how I approached Michigan earlier. You know, I feel bad for the coaches, but they got to suffer. But I wouldn't want the players there now to suffer.
All right. The self-proclaimed number one caller on 102.5 The Game is on our phone line, Mark in Nashville. Mark, go ahead, my friend.
Oh, not proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed.
Like I told you the other day, Adam, what's up, man? Adam, Willie, D-Mate. I told you, Adam, the other day to crown me. Crown me, man. Crown Mark.
Crown him. Here. Crown
you want to crown him?
Crown him. Yeah, he is who I thought he is. Yeah.
I got to keep you motivated, Mark. I got to keep you hungry.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm definitely hungry when I call, Adam. You know how I am. I'm self-motivated.
What you got for us, Mark? What you got for us?
Yeah, Adam, Willie, D-Mace, I heard you talking a minute ago about Cam. Mm-hmm. I think Cam will make the adjustments on his arm angle. I think he'll make his adjustments as he goes. So he won't be making throws where the ball's getting batted down.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that other caller when he said that Helm will probably be the number one tight end. I still would like to see him go to a two tight end set. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing I'm looking for out of this D-Mace is not Van Jefferson. It's not Lockett. I mean, it's not any of those wideouts or Calvin Ridley. I need to see somebody that can take the top off the roof. That's what the Titans have always needed. Somebody puts the fear of God in those secondaries and know this is who we got a game plan for. That way, if you got somebody like that, that opens up everything for those underneath routes and everything else that the Titans run. Listen to me, Adam. I'm showing how self-proclaimed I am. Listen to me. So that would really help that offense and benefit them big time if they did that. But you know what, D-Mace? Mm-hmm. I forgot to tell you, man. I congratulations on your Hall of Fame thing.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
But you know what, though, man? Mm-hmm. I'm waiting on today, D-Mace, and you're going to have to get me a plane ticket to let me ride with you. I'm ready to see you go to Canton. Then I'll make a call to my boy, Torrey Holt, and I'll have him meet us up over there, and maybe hopefully – both of y'all, two deserving NFL put in a time wide receivers who had a hell of a career. Both of y'all went to Super Bowls. One didn't. Y'all should be in there. If Sterling Sharp can get in there, D-Mace, y'all should have been in there. It's a travesty, man.
Well, but thank you, Mark. We appreciate
come,
it.
Yeah, when that day comes, I'm going to be right up there with you, D-Mace.
All right. I'm going to be looking for you, man. I'll be looking for you, Mark.
I know you will. You won't have to look for it, D-Mace. Number one caller, 102.5 The Game. Keep me on top. Here I go. Y'all have a good weekend, Adam. I'll call you back Monday, and I'll be even more motivated.
All right,
hold
buddy.
Hold on. You didn't say hi. You didn't say bye to all of us.
Yeah, what about Willie and Darryl?
Yeah, what about us?
Bye, Willie. Bye, teammate. Bye, Adam.
Okay.
All right, Mark. Now we're good. We'll see you later, my friend.
I don't think
there was a question in there. But always.
But
good.
He did have a point.
About taking the top off the defense.
About taking the top off the defense. DK is the guy that they got that has that type of speed. Iowa Manor has good speed. But DK has to take the top off of its speed. Now, listen, Calvin Ridley, speed isn't the only way you can get deep consistently. I want people to understand that. Speed isn't the only way you can get deep consistently. Now, it helps, but it's all about positioning, making your routes all look the same, your technique, getting off the line, pressing the cushion of the defensive back. You got to know all these things. That's why watching film is imperative, you know, when you're a wide receiver, because you got to know how to beat your opponent in the pass game. So, but DK is really the guy I think they really hope shows sooner rather than later, because you could put him at the slot. And I'm telling you, when you got one of the first teams I ever seen do this was the Rams. St. Louis Rams, when they had Isaac King, Torrey Holt, and Bruce Isaac Bruce, Isaac King was a nightmare in the slot. He was, because he was flat out fast. The dude can move, and it put pressure on those safeties. Why do you? And you got Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce. To me, Torrey is a Hall of Famer. I don't know why the hell he hadn't got in yet, but he is a Hall of Famer. But you got those two guys on the outside, and you got a guy that can flat out run down the middle. That puts pressure on everybody in the secondary. Then they had Ricky Pro. I mean, no wonder that team was considered the greatest show on turf. So when you have a guy like that in the middle of the field that can take the top off, it puts pressure on the defense, and it puts them at a disadvantage. DK, they're hoping he can be that guy. That's why I said it'll be a good thing, and I'm not taking anything away from Tyler Lockett. I think Tyler Lockett has been a really good receiver in this league, and he's been nothing but a consummate pro from what I know. But if DK can push Tyler Lockett to a point where DK is getting more snaps at that slot position, it makes your team faster. It just makes them faster. But he has to prove that he can do that consistently.
Quickly, one more on our text line. D-Mace, I'm sure you've been in multiple scrums for fumble recoveries. My question is, what is the worst thing you've heard that you were allowed to say on the radio or seen done to other players in the pile for the ball?
I've seen it all, man. Eye poke, eye gouges, man. People pulling on your helmet, pulling your fingers. Other places they're pulling and hitting. It's just a scrum. It's truly a scrum under there. And everything, nothing's.
No rules.
No rules. No hold bar. No holds bar. When you are in that pile of that scrum, everything goes.
Blood sport.
Yep, because we're trying to get the ball from whoever has it. And the ref don't know who has it. So you pull, you bite, you do everything you can to get that football.
You
that's
would
the
never
most
bite anybody.
If it was the Super Bowl, you damn Skippy, I would.
Willie,
now
what about
I gotta
you?
Get that football
what about
back,
you?
I will bite you to get it.
What about you fighting for a loose ball on the court?
There's not enough people.
That's true.
To cover up what's going on in there. Like, it's usually you and another person, maybe two, right? So it's not an equivalent. Like, under the pile, the ref can do everything he can.
Yeah.
He still can't see what's going on under there.
Nope. That's why I said, Willie, I would bite somebody. Yeah. I'd bite a finger.
Not a subtle elbow, Willie?
I don't think so.
A little jab?
Come on, Willie. You got sharp elbows, too, man. You got sharp elbows. So get
it's going to be called a jump ball as long as you hold your own in there. So you don't have to get that. It's not like, no holes barred,
right,
where
the stronger person clear
comes
possession.
Away with it. Yeah.
Right. Right.
They should do like the old, if the NFL, if they can't figure out who has the ball, they should do like, what was it? What was the league they brought up?
The XFL,
when they put the ball at the 50 and the guys had to run whoever got it first.
Yes.
They should do
that.
That
was how they determined possession.
That's how they did it. Yeah.
That's how they determined possession.
Exactly.
I think a lot of people got hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why.
Take that out.
That's maybe why that version of the XFL didn't last very long. 615-737-1025. Excellent participation. We will wrap up the week by taking it to the bank, and we'll look ahead to the Titans and Falcons preseason game number 2, which starts at the top of the hour. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game, our final segment of the week. Titans and Falcons preseason game number 2, starting at the top of the hour. But before we get to that, let's take it to the bank with our friends at F&M Bank. Their mission is to make lives better by making banking easier. So, the actual competition will start in a matter of weeks once college football season gets underway. So we're still having a little fun with this, but let's make predictions, guys, on something from tonight's Titans-Falcons preseason game, which starts in roughly 15 minutes. Willie, why don't you go first?
Well, first of all, I want to take credit because I believe the over hit on so-and-so had a great camp.
Mm-hmm.
I think that happened. I heard at least 4, and I must have missed a couple in there. It was perfect. There was a few in the first quarter, and I was texting you guys right away. I was like, there's one. There's 2. It just happens every year at the first game because we've been watching all these practices. So tonight, I think what I'm looking to take to the bank, I want to see a sack by Oladejo.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say. I think he was around the ball. I think they're going to play better tonight than they played in Tampa. I don't think they had good footing in Tampa. They look very slow. I think they're going to look better tonight and quicker. And so I think Oladejo, who I think is a – he's got the tools. He's fast. I want to see him get a sack. That's what I'm going to take to the bank.
Derek?
All right, I'm taking to the bank that one of these young receivers will score a touchdown.
DK, Iomanner, or Restrepo?
DK, Iomanner, or Restrepo, one of the three will have a touchdown reception.
Okay.
And what else was I looking at? Is how many offensive linemen are playing?
I saw Skoronski warming up. I saw Dan Moore warming up.
All right.
Christian Berry's in uniform, but has he been ruled out?
I haven't seen that yet.
It'd be crazy to let him play.
Latham is playing.
Yeah, okay. So I predict that we will be talking about the offensive line improving even more come Monday.
Okay. Yes, Lloyd Cushenberry is in full uniform for pregame. We'll see if he plays. Probably not, I would assume, but at least he's warming up in full uniform. I will take to the bank that Cam Ward will have a touchdown throw of at least 15 yards.
Now, last week, yours was Shedeur Sanders would have a throw of 30 or more yards.
Yes.
He throws one down the sideline. The guy makes an unbelievable one-handed catch, and the announcers say, gain of 29.
ESPN play-by-play said 30.
Adam gets the keyboard. He looks at the official stats. Texts back. It was 30.
Don't shortchange me.
Man.
So Cam Ward will have a touchdown throw of at least 15 yards.
At least 15?
At least 15 yards.
Okay, can you make it, can you, to who?
If I had to pick one, I'm going to say a 15-yard touchdown throw to DK. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say Gunnar Hale down the middle.
Mm. Well, I've already said DK, so yeah, I can't go back. Go. David?
Can't go back.
So I'm also going to go with some of Cam Ward. I think Cam Ward's going to rush or get a touchdown, but a rushing touchdown, and he'll do his signature dance of this. I don't know how they call it, but he's going to do his signature dance this game.
Okay. We will see what happens when the Falcons take on the Titans, or the Titans take on the Falcons, at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So.
Right around the corner.
No Calvin Ridley. No Tyler Lockett for the Titans. So that means DK, Helm, and Iomanner have a big opportunity tonight.
We've been hearing these 5 a.m. meetings between Cam Ward every day and the young rookies, right? So he's been meeting with Helm and DK, and we know he's already got the built-in relationship with Streppo.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Iomanner's been at these meetings. I was listening to Albert Breer on the MMQB, and he honed in on this. And in the practices, most of those guys aren't taking very many, if any, reps with the ones. So all these things that they're doing at 5 a.m., they haven't really had a chance to put it out on the field together. So I'm looking for that tonight to see if there's a little chemistry, because I think that will be something that would become a storyline, is are the young guys – this would be a great storyline for the Titans long term. How quickly – if at all, can these young guys push the veterans? And you've been saying this a lot too, D-Mace.
Yeah, it's better. I mean, if they can push them, and listen, they don't even have to, leapfrog them to become the number one guy. If they're just pushing them where they're earning significant playing time, that's good for the Tennessee Titans, because ultimately you do want them to transition into, a starting role on your offense. But if I just want these young guys to continue to push the starters, because if that happens, it makes the whole team better.
I agree with Willie on Oladejo. This is a big opportunity for him as well. He'll get more reps tonight than he did in the first preseason game, I'm sure. Last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I feel like there's a lot riding on him, because this team doesn't have a lot of help at edge rush. So I would like to see him be impactful in this game. So when I'm thinking about players that I'm going to be watching, of course, Cam Ward first and foremost. then the young receivers, the young trio of receivers, including Gunnar Helm, and then Oladejo, I think, would round out my quote-unquote top five.
I want to see somebody beat somebody one-on-one and get to the quarterback. I think that is what I'm looking for because it just doesn't look like they have that guy. So somebody emerge that can help. The other thing, too, is that the Denard Wilson, I'm sure he's not showing everything about his pressure schemes where you bring the guy, you don't know where he's coming from. That's the concept, because I didn't really see that materialize much. And when they did bring the extra guy, Kyle Trask, he knew where to go with the ball, and he made a lot of nice throws off the back foot, even if a guy was sort of coming in there. And they didn't cover it very well. So I hope there's improvement in that area. Tonight.
Well, they're going to have to get improvement in the secondary. They're just going to have to, because right now, the way they showed up in the last game or the way they didn't show up in the last game, what we've been talking about them, you know, what the things we've been saying about them in practice hasn't been good. This unit needs to have a good showing starting tonight, because if they can't, then, you know, you can't have one unit get better in the offensive line, but then you take a step back. We didn't take a step forward. Now we're going to take a step back because the secondary isn't playing well. They're going to have to find out. They're going to have to figure out who their guys is, and these guys got to start making plays for them, because it's going to be a long year. If they can't get to the passer, like you said, Willie, with Femi and some of these other guys, obviously Simmons and Sweat, but if they can get to the quarterback, they damn sure hadn't shown, at least early on, that they can cover.
And so, let's all be thankful for a moment that we don't have to watch Tim Boyle play tonight. He of the 0.6 quarterback rating last week in Tampa.
Now that's impressive, though. 0.6. Because we've seen some zeros. There's a lot more zeros than 0.6s. Like, to get to that exact number, that's pretty
zero.
That's pretty fine. That's cutting
zero,
it fine.
0.6.
Is Simeon going to play?
I assume so.
I assume he will. He should.
Okay.
Brandon Allen didn't do much better last week, by the way.
I guess I keep forgetting. Simeon was there last year, so he at least walks in there knowing some of the concepts that they're going to do. He's going to let's hope that the depth looks better. I was really hoping to see somebody pop and say, you know, here looks like maybe they've got something here. Like, I want to have that feeling from this. And I'll tell you where there's opportunity tonight with the injury to Spears.
Running back.
The running back spot. Yeah. You know, we've seen many guys. We can go through the list, right?
Julius Chestnut
has got a lot of preseason yards racked up in his career.
Does.
And he's not alone.
Khalil
right?
Mullings, who is
Mullings
5 foot
is,
two.
Right.
Kidding.
Chestnut's a big opportunity tonight.
Hopefully the graphics will say 6 foot two tonight, not
instead
five
of five
two.
Foot two.
But there's a job there, right? There's a job to be had by somebody there. They've got to put somebody alongside of Pollard.
I think they may end up keeping, you know, four backs on this team, because it's almost like you have to, because you don't know when Spears is going to go down. So maybe you try to hide one on the practice squad, Mullins, if you can. But they're going to need, like you said, Willie, they're going to need somebody else to show. I like Chestnut. I really do. I think he can get you those dirty yards, those tough yards that you can get. He's somewhat of a guy that can catch some passes out the backfield. But he's nothing like Tajay Spears, and they're going to miss that sort of element. But I do believe that Chestnut can go out there and get you some tough yards, but they're going to need somebody else as well to show that you know, if given a chance, they can produce.
The expectation is that Cam Ward and the rest of the Titans starters will play two series. I think the expectation is what you saw last week in terms of playing time is what you should see tonight in mere moments against the Atlanta Falcons. So got any cool weekend plans?
Nah, I don't have any cool weekend plans.
Willie?
Willie?
My son's got his his buddies, his tight buddies from his freshman hall, mm-hmm. baseball teammates from Denison. So look out.
Ooh, dare to house.
Be on the loose.
Oh, watch out, Nashville. Man. Watch out, Nashville.
Lock up your daughters.
Mahoney and the crew is coming yep. from Denison.
Lock up your daughters. Mahoney Donick yep. is on the prowl.
He's on the prowl. You'll notice him. He's wearing his Denison hat.
Just
you'll
like,
notice.
Just like his Big dad. Red. Just like his dad on the beaches of Dunedin, Florida.
This is true. Back in the day.
Back in the day during Blue Jay spring training.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Little jet skis. Uh-huh. Couple brewskis.
I don't think those things go together. Can you get a DUI
no,
on
it's
a
probably,
jet ski?
Yeah,
not
a
yeah,
good,
that's not, yeah,
not,
that's
not,
good. That's
not
good.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, not
jet
simultaneously.
Skis and then
brewskis. And then brewskis.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. Jet skis and then brewskis. Well,
I'm getting tattoo number 7 tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
It's going to hurt like hell, but I'm looking forward to
don't
it.
Don't you what you call it said he got it. What's the name of the guy that dated Kim Kardashian?
Kim Kardashian.
What was his name?
Pete Davidson?
Yeah, he got. He said he got all his tattoos removed.
He got all
removed.
Of his tattoos removed.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure is even.
Well, no, he's getting them all removed.
I think it's
process.
Already started.
Yeah.
But
he said it's
going to
be like
even,
a 4 or 5 year process.
That's even more painful. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, I hope you all have a wonderful weekend as well. Whatever you decide to get up to in our wonderful city this weekend. Titans and Falcons in just a matter of moments. Our friends at News 2 have your coverage live if you want to watch the game. We will break it all down Monday, 3 o'clock. Until then, have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you Monday afternoon.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful weekend. We love you. I love you.